Welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the Central Catskill region. Margaretville Hospital has been a cornerstone in our community for 95 years. I was sort of stunned by that number. During this time when rural hospitals are closing at an accelerating rate across the country, the hospital has new leadership and its parent organization, Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley and WMC Health, are standing behind this critical access hospital. And the community remains key to the hospital's success in a variety of ways, including supporting its fundraising efforts. For several years now, the hospital has held an art auction that has raised significant funds for special projects. The most recent auction occurred on May 9th. I'm sorry to say I wasn't here to go to it, but I heard it was fabulous. And here to talk with us about it and other developments of the hospital is Emily Adams, a doula and chair of the board of directors of the hospital. Emily Adams, thank you so much for coming back on to Health Cetera in the Catskills.
Thank you so much. I always have a good time.
Good. And we have Michael Hockman, who's the executive director of Margaville Hospital. And I did say new leadership. It's now 2 years, Michael. Is that right?
Almost. We're getting close.
Almost 2 years. And you've been fabulous. Yes, thank you for coming back on to Health Cetera as well. And just for transparency purpose, I do serve on the board of Margaretville Hospital. Well, I want to start off by talking about the art auction. This actually was something that was started by then board member Jim Howey and has continued. Emily, do you want to tell us a little bit about how the auction went?
So this was our sixth auction. We started this with Jim Howey way back when. And we had the biggest turnout, I think. We sold the most artwork. We raised the most money. We had the most bidding wars of any auction that we've had to date. It was fantastic. I think everyone had a really good time. We had 60 art pieces in total between the live and the silent auction. And they're really coming from mainly from area artists, artists in the Catskills, a lot of whom are artists that were working in the city that were like, enough of this city life. And eventually we're like moved up to the Catskills and have been there for a really long time. Most of them are gallery represented artists that have work in museums around the world. So, you know, it's actually really great art aside from the fact that it's local. So it's great that our local artists are supporting the hospital so much. And then we have a contingent of donors bidders who come back. And, you know, I always talk about this in the art auction. When you're attending any kind of charitable auction, the way to attend that auction is to decide how much money you want to give to support the cause that you're giving to, right? And then think about whatever you win or purchase in your auction item as like a thank you gift, right? Mm-hmm. So you're coming to this thing to support the hospital, to give money, to donate, and you're getting some art as a thank you gift. So, you know, we always tell people, don't worry about bidding against yourself. If you think you didn't pay enough for it yet, just bid more, you know, because the more you pay for it, the more value you will have when you look at it. So, you know, there was a lot of joking around but it was a very serious fundraiser.
I also heard that Dave Rama, who's been the auctioneer, was at the top of his game on this. I was sorry to miss it.
He absolutely was. He, you know, Dave Rama is on the cattle exchange and he lives in Delhi, but he's a board member as well. And he drove from a cattle auction for, I don't know, 3.5 hours to come and do our auction. So he'd just been auctioning cattle for absurd amounts of money. Like, Michael, were you shocked when he said it blew my mind how much he was auctioning.
How much does he auction the cows for?
He auctions the cows for like $100,000. I mean, it was like, it was crazy.
Wow. And are these, I'm sorry. I'm totally intrigued by this. Are these milk cows or are these eating cows?
I think that they are eating cows.
Wow.
I would imagine at that level, though, that would have to be a breeding cow.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Right? Like, so you know, I think it's Angus. But he came in hot from auctioning $100,000 cows to our auction. And boy, he is really, really good at getting into our bidders' pockets.
Yes, yes. I've always had this strategy of that I will see the items that I wouldn't mind getting if I got the bid, but my purpose is to try to drive up the bid. So I will sometimes keep offering a higher bid to encourage somebody who I think is going to buy this to actually buy it. Now, I have ended up with actually being the top bidder on stuff that, what did I really want it? But I think your comments, Emily, about, you know, look, this is about giving. And so it always feels good. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's, you know, you always find a way, right? So maybe it isn't going to go on your wall, but maybe it's going to go on your best friend's wall or, you know, whatever. And you could say, oh, I got this for you.
Yes.
I was thinking of you. And, you know, I got this at this art auction for charity. So,
yeah.
There's always a way, but it was a good time.
So, Michael, people want to know, and Emily, jump in on this too. Michael Hockman, though, people want to know. So, what is this money going to be used for?
So, this art auction fundraising round is going to go towards primary care in Margaretville, and that's what we're really excited about. This is what's going to enable us to take the next step in our primary care endeavors. So, we've done what I think is the really hard part, which is the recruitment. So we've brought in three new nurse practitioners. We have Aaron Black, Karen Bedell, and Karen Zaney, who's going to be starting in July. We've hired Dr. Judith McCloskey, who's going to be our first physician to join the practice in a very long time. She's starting next week. So that's, you know, getting the people is the hard part. Now we get into the fun part, which is designing a workspace that really maximizes the talents of the staff that we have, improves the workflow for the staff, and then delivers a higher level of patient care and need, really meeting that holistic aspect of primary care. So that's what some of this funding will go towards, is towards the design. Some of it will go towards construction and equipment. So everything we need to support that delivery of care and what's really expected of patients in today's market. So that's what we're looking to spend those funds on.
And we should share with people about the funds that we got from Congressman Josh Riley.
We did. We are so thankful for Congressman Josh Riley for Senator Schumer and Gillibrand who really helped promote care in rural communities through this funding opportunity. That'll be a little over $600,000 that we'll see from the federal government. Then we have our matching component, which is an additional $200,000. And that's what this art auction helps kind of bridge the gap on, so that we can take that total investment and really just maximize those dollars to deliver care that's so needed in this community and the surrounding area.
So before I want to get talk about the helipad, but before that, I want to talk a little bit more about the primary care practice. You mentioned Dr. Judith McCloskey. Tell us a little bit about her. She's the physician who will be coming to the practice.
Yes. So Judith is going to be a physician who's joining us in our practice, and she has experience working in more rural parts of New York State. She has experience working for a federally qualified health center, which we felt was also very important, given the types of care that we provide in the community and the makeup of the larger community that we serve. She's a board certified family medicine provider, so she's able to see patients across the care continuum. She's a doctor of osteopathic medicine, so we think she's just going to be a really good fit for this community, understanding the care needs and just providing that extra layer of support for the already fantastic providers that we have inside of that practice.
And I have to say that board members Diane Monroe and Colleen McDaniels are on this sort of, I'll call it the welcome committee. I forget what it's really called, but
it's the recruitment committee.
So when there's somebody who's interested in working here, that the committee reaches out to them and looks to help to onboard them and talk to them about the community, find people and connections that can help them feel an important part of the community and valued here. And so I was at a lunch that Diane and Colleen had at Colleen's house for Judith and a couple other community members, and she expressed a real interest in doing the osteopathic part of the work that she's been trained to do, which is really quite lovely. And for those who know anything about osteopathy, it is medicine, but there are also other techniques that they use, and it's a more holistic approach. So I think you're right. I think that she will fit in just really nicely in our community, and I'm looking forward to seeing her myself. And while we're on that, I've been trying to make an appointment, as you know, Michael. Tell people how they can get an appointment with her or one of the three nurse practitioners who are in the practice.
So if the best way to get an appointment, especially if you're looking for a same-day appointment, which is something we're now offering in Margaretville, is to call the phone number, because then the staff can look in real time at the schedule and find places to work patients in if they're looking for that same-day wellness visit. So the phone number is 845-586-3888. So I'll do it one more time. Mm-hmm. 845-586-3888. And that's going to be the best way to connect with the scheduler. Now, we do offer online booking as well. So for Karen and Aaron, you can go to our website right now. You can look to see what their next available appointment is, and you can get yourself scheduled for it. We do expect Judith to go live a little bit later in the week, so probably late Thursday, early Friday, we should see her schedule go live for people to start booking appointments online with her. But for the same day appointments, really encourage people to use that phone number and reach out that way, because we're just able to manage the schedule a little bit better to really get people in as quickly as we can.
And just for people who have called this number in the past, it no longer, most of the time, goes directly to the practice here. There's a central scheduling, and so you want to be prepared that there's somebody centrally. You just tell them you want, it's Margaretville Hospital's practice. You can ask for the practitioner who you want to see, or else they can assign you somebody. And I actually needed a same-day appointment, and they were able to put me on hold and I think talk directly to the people at that practice and say, yes, come in at 4:15. And so they'll work with the local people. Good, good. Well, it's all very exciting because we've been really trying to build out primary care here for quite some time. And and we have a grant from New York Health Foundation. Tell them about that.
We do. So we also have a grant from the New York Health Foundation. We're very excited about this opportunity. And this is really going to help us kind of accelerate this progress towards the patient-centered care model, as well as looking at some training and education models that we can implement inside of the practice to really help the clinicians deliver more holistic care by considering some of the other social factors that kind of impact a person's overall health. So it's a really great, it's about 18-month pilot program that we're going to be working through. It will have community involvement, so there will be community stakeholders that also get to sit on a committee and provide some of their feedback, their perspective, their insight, really about what they see as the care gaps, as well as opportunities to maybe better meet the mark in terms of what people are looking for. So we're very excited about that. And we're in the early stages of kind of getting those committees and pieces off the ground.
Good, good. Emily, anything else you want to add about the primary care piece?
I mean, as a parent, I think that having family care, family care provider is amazing because, you know, kids, they're going to get sick. They're going to bring it home. And you can't just take them to any doctor. You need somebody who's versed in pediatrics. So, you know, and then I'm in that age group where, you know, I have children and I have, you know, we would have aging parents, right? So, you know, just having one doctor, you know, at least, I mean, everyone in our practice is family care, but like just knowing that we have that broad spectrum of coverage is really valuable. And it also not having to drive over an hour away to get your care, is a big deal. If you're working and you have to drive there and back somewhere that's an hour away, I mean, you're talking about half of your day.
Yeah.
So this is just a real boon to our community. And, you know, if you build it, they will come is our thought here. Like, so we're building it. Please come.
And I want to add that the practice has been trying to bring more women's health here. And one of the the auctions in a prior year was dedicated to women's health. There was a clinician who I saw who I liked, but she didn't stay. But now there's another woman, a physician's assistant who has deep experience in women's health. And I'm not remembering her name. Maybe, do you know what my
Ellie name? Wagner.
Ellie Wagner. Thank you. She was fantastic. Fantastic. And I have high standards, but the way she approached me, everything was just outstanding. And so there's a lot of older women out here. And somebody who's for women's health, us older women have women's health issues. And so I would encourage you to consider trying to get an appointment with her. Now, right now, she's only up here one day a week, but if the demand was higher, or one day a month, the demand was higher, we'd probably get her more frequently. So any other services related to the primary care practice, Michael, that we should highlight?
Yeah, we just started with general surgery. So we now have general surgery on site twice a month.
Not primary care. That's not primary care.
Well,
oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant other services in that primary care building. I apologize.
No, with primary
care. Does that count? Does podiatry count?
Nope. No. So we'll come back to that. Well, why don't we go ahead? Why don't we go ahead and do that? Tell us about these other specialty services.
Sure. So in our Palin building, we have some other specialty services. So general surgery just started. They're on site twice a month now, really focusing on pre and post surgical consults. But there are some limited number of procedures that they can consider performing inside of the practice itself. So, you know, very early stages of getting them in, but very experienced surgeons. Dr. James Feeney is actually the director of our trauma surgery program down in Kingston. So he oversees the whole trauma program down in Kingston. And Dr. Glennick has been a surgeon for decades, just a true wealth of experience between the two of them. So we're very happy to have them on site. We have Dr. Amadeo, who is a board certified neurologist who's been coming on site twice a month as well. She's also doing memory care clinics over in the nursing home as well. So she's flexing her time between the two practices. We have women's health, as you had mentioned, with Ellie Wagner. We're very happy to have her on site. We have cardiology here. Dr. Heller comes up once a month. And we have pulmonology on site twice a month with Dr. Chat and Alana Denter, who's another physician's assistant. So really looking to understand the needs of the community, find the right providers, and align them with services in Margaretville, just to make sure that people are able to receive that great care, but closer to home.
And so let's be clear, though, we're not talking about doing heart surgery here. We're not talking about doing a major abdominal surgery. We're talking about what kinds of things, Michael?
So, this is really focusing on the pre and post surgical consults. So those could be your more intensive surgical cases, but they would be referred down to Kingston for follow-up. Smaller things that could be considered for, local procedures would be like if you had benign growth that just needed to be excised and then specimen, like we could most likely do that locally. But we, you know, as we build, we'll see what comes.
Yeah, good. Thank you. So I want to turn to one of the auctions, I want to say 3 years ago now, maybe, Emily, was devoted to the heliport. Or was it
It was two auctions.
Two auctions.
Because heliports, as I learned, are expensive. We raised money over the course of a couple of years to put a helipad in front of the hospital. Because the way that we are currently doing it is so taxing in so many different ways. So currently, if you need to be airlifted somewhere, we call the fire department. They secure the field behind Freshtown. They wait for the helicopter to arrive. Meanwhile, the hospital has to get a patient ready for transport onto an ambulance over to the field. and then onto that helicopter. And every time you switch hands and pass a patient off, you elevate risk. So the goal here is not to have all of those steps, not to be taking so much time away from our firefighters, and just be able to take someone straight from the ER into the helicopter and send them on their way. So we did raise enough money to build this helipad.
How much did we raise?
From the auction? That's a really good question.
but we also raised other money from the community.
We were tasked as a local community through philanthropy to raise, I think it was $350,000 towards the helipad. Mm-hmm. I think that the full budget for the helipad was closer to $800,000, which seems crazy until you factor in all of the schematic work and everything that needed to be done, cantilevering it, getting FAA approval, and then heating it. Which is, I didn't think about that, but because we're in a frozen, you know, tundra in the winter, the helipad has to remain de-iced. There were just a lot of elements that went into building this thing that I didn't consider. I thought you just make a concrete slab and it costs you, you know, a couple $1,000. That's not the case. But it is fully funded. And if you drive by the hospital right now, you will see construction happening. You'll see some gravel and some leveling of ground. Mike can speak to what stage we are on that and what the timeline is better than I can.
Michael.
Yeah, so we're very excited. We did get to break ground. It was a little bit later than we had hoped. There were some delays with the initial permitting, but all that's been resolved. So as soon as the ground thawed, which can be a bit late in Margaretville, we had the trucks on site with the heavy equipment to start digging. So the footings have been dug and poured. So we've had our first round of concrete pouring. So we're waiting for those to cure. Then we will do the pouring for the concrete column. So that'll be the little bit of concrete you see above ground. And once that's had its full cure period, which I believe is closer to 25 days, we'll then have the structural steel company on site. So this type of helipad is almost like an erector set. So it comes in large pre-constructed pieces that just get lifted with a large crane, set into place. And then you'll have about 2 weeks of the vendor being on site doing the final tie-in. So that's ensuring that the structure is securely to not just the footings, but each piece so that it's structurally sound to land the helicopter on top of. We'll have some finished work with the electrician who will be on site to do all of the tie-ins. Then there's the startup and testing, making sure lights and everything work on it. They'll do a test flight in and out, and then we'll be operational. So we're really hoping right around the end of June, maybe the beginning of July, that pad will be complete and ready for use, which will be great in terms of turnaround time and patient care and convenience. We're really excited to see this come through.
So I have to ask this question. It's cantilevered over the parking lot. So are you getting complaints about, I can't find a parking spot?
Margaretville is very fortunate to have a wealth of parking, so that hasn't been an issue. And because it's cantilevered, it has a 7-foot clearance underneath it. So we will lose 2 parking spots just based on the placement of the footing. There, you're just not going to be able to use it. And then also because it's, you know, it's elevated, there has to be 2 points of emergency egress. So there's a stair set that comes off the side. So we lose about 2 spots. But it'll actually give us covered parking, which is something Margaretville hasn't had. So there will be some lucky customer who comes in during a little bit of snow or rain and gets a covered spot to park in. So,
wow. Yeah. And how are they?
You gotta look on the sunny side.
How are they heating it?
So the structure, we've been going back and forth on it. Ultimately, we chose to forego any direct heating elements inside of the concrete pad just because it's extremely cost prohibitive and there's some concerns around maintenance of the system. So we won't be using an ice melt system. So we've been working with our snow removal vendor on what the process and policy is going to look like. Just to make sure that the landing zone is completely clear for them whenever it's in need. And we've done that in consultation with LifeNet, who's the local air provider, as well as the FAA, who has some pretty strict requirements around, you know, clearances and conditions for landing. So
So I was in the U.S. Army Nurse Corps in the 70s, and we were around helicopters. We were taken out somewhere and dropped and told to work our way back with our compasses and maps, et cetera. It was only once that they made the nurses do this. But I remember the wind around that helicopter. And when I was thinking about the helicopter pad, I thought, wow, if I'm outside and a helicopter is landing, of course, I don't know how tall this thing is, but are people going to feel that wind there? Are people going to need to sort of stay put and not move while that helicopter's landing or taking off?
No, because of the height differential, they should be fine.
Okay.
I suppose if you were in a car somewhat closely parked, you may notice the wind pickup like you would if you had any gust of wind come through. But we're not concerned from an access standpoint of somebody being in the area and there being an issue with the wind. We should be fine.
That's great. Well, any last words, Emily, about supporting our hospital?
You know, philanthropy is always going to be a part of what we do at the hospital. There's always going to be an element of us, you know, trying to make things better and inviting our community to join us. This hospital was built by the community. I feel like we still feel ownership over our hospital, even though it is owned by an entity that's not in Margaretville. And so we're always going to have the continued invitation to help support the hospital and be a part of it. We will also always need board members. So if there are people who feel like they have something to offer in terms of a board seat, we're open to that as well. You know, we have a robust and very active board now. But you know, there's always a time when someone says, you know, I've been on the board for a long time, or term limits come and people have to step aside. So don't feel afraid to volunteer either on the corporate board or the foundation board. If you're really good at getting into people's pockets, let us know. you know, it's a skill set.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is a foundation with a board.
There's the health foundation. Mm-hmm.
And that does fundraising as well.
They do fundraising. You'll see the mailers that you get in the mail that are the annual appeal that come out towards the end of the year. And those are opportunities to donate to the Hospital Health Foundation to help with different initiatives that the hospital is always working on. We're always trying to upgrade equipment. We're always trying to build out services. We're always trying to keep renovating and keep things looking good, both at the hospital and at the nursing home. And the Health Foundation is very important to that. So, you know, we will gladly welcome any support that we can get.
And that's Emily Adams. She is a doula and chair of the board of Margaretville Hospital. Thank you, Emily, for coming on today. And Michael, just one more word here about if people want to. Now, in the local newspapers now, the hospital is taking out ads to show services that are available. But otherwise, how do they find out and how do they make an appointment?
Yes. Yeah, so if you would like to make an appointment with a hospital-based service, so, you know, wound care, infusion, rehab, lab services, really anything you see on the flyer, you can give us a call at 845-586-2631. That's 845-586-2631. As I mentioned earlier, we are working through the process of adding all of our services to online scheduling. We haven't completely gotten there, but you can always go back to our website that will list all of the services. And at a minimum, it will have the phone number associated with that service that you can call to schedule an appointment.
Great. And that is Michael Hochman, Executive Director of Margaretville Hospital. Thank you for the great work you're doing, Michael. And Emily, your leadership on the board. Thank you both very much for coming on to Health Center in the Catskills today.